This is a good recording, man. Yeah, I can dig it.
Solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. Looking forward to some more playoff basketball tonight.
Yeah, man. You know, it's going to be. You're starting with basketball. It's going to be 69 degrees.
Well, you know, it's always... it's going to be nice for hopefully the next couple months here. Playoff basketball will come and go.
So, Earl, do you think we have to eat crow on the radio?
Well, if you don't know by now, that's the one and only Sandy Williams, my co-host, and he's asking, you know, Calvin, why he's saying we should eat crow?
Why
by the way,
that?
Good morning to you, Sandy. Yeah, how you doing?
Good morning. Well, it's a great morning.
Every morning is a great morning.
It is. It is. opening your eyes is a surprise. But eating crow, we were definitely off base about what was going to happen in the playoff, at least game one.
Calvin, you saw the game, right?
Yes, I did. I forgot
how
negative you guys were about our outlook going in.
Yeah.
But it's only one game. I'll be more confident if we look the same way tonight.
Well, we're not going to look the same way. We're not going to score 70 points, and the other team has 35.
Yeah, you can't duplicate the first half like that very often. And Lillard obviously can't duplicate 35 points in a half. But they're going to and also they're going to be all over Lillard. And you know, like they were in the second half of that game. So now it's going to be up to the other guys.
Yeah, it really is. And, so we're excited about that, but listen, we got a lot to talk about, Sandy. So let's get ready to rumble.
Oh yeah, there you go. You know, he has that trademarked.
Oh
yeah. Buffer or whatever his name is, the guy that does
Michael
that.
Buffer.
Mike, yeah. You can't use that.
Oh, we can't.
No, yeah, that's he has that whole thing trademarked, and so copyrighted.
Yeah, well, you know, he's losing a little bit of his thunder. His voice is not as strong as it used to be.
Uh-huh.
I heard him, I think, doing, I forgot what it was, and
well, he does UFC now a lot.
Yeah, UFC.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sandy, you and I,
which incidentally, I have to say that is a bit of a vice on my, because you know UFC is a very brutal,
Sandy,
very
you watch
brutal
UFC.
I do.
I didn't know.
Oh, and it's and it's pretty brutal. And I remember talking to a guy. This was some years ago, who I think he thought I was talking about. Anyway, he said, and he said, you know, that's all fake. And I said, Jim, the problem with it is none of it's fake. Okay, that's
it's barbaric.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's barbaric.
Yeah.
And so you see, you know, boxing, you see some blood, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes. But in the UFC, and even women, they're just...
Yeah, they're belting each other. Well, you know, the thing of it is, in boxing, you suffer a lot of blows, your jabs and everything. And so the question of how much CTE, this problem, this brain injury thing, might be more dangerous in boxing than... Because in UFC, you get your lights put out pretty fast. You know, it's not, you don't take 162 punches to the head. You take one or two and a kick or something and you're out cold. But it's brutal.
I wonder, Sandy, if the boxing glove itself insulates more than those small little gloves that the UFC has.
It definitely does. You know, I did intramural boxing in college,
really?
But we use 16-ounce gloves. And it was
16 ounces.
That's the amateur glove.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll tell you what, your arms get tired just carrying the gloves, but it's like getting hit with a heavy pillow, you know.
Yeah, 16 ounce.
16-ounce gloves. 8-ounce gloves are much more.
They band-aid it for the most part. They band 8-ounce gloves. I mean, 12-ounce gloves are the ones that Ali used to fight in, and they kind of didn't want to do those. Those are too big. So they probably still do 8-ounce gloves.
I think they, I don't know. But all I know is that it's the blow is more striking you feel like you're getting bludgeoned with a 16-ounce glove, and you probably feel like you're getting hit with a rock with the UFC gloves.
So, Sandy, when I said, let's get ready to rumble, I didn't mean boxing to talk about boxing.
I know. Well, I'll stop.
So I just wanted to say, before we get started, that last Friday we had a great show because you, the listening audience, chimed in, and that's what we want. You know, we want to have a dialogue with you, the listening audience. And so with that in mind, Sandy and I have a show lined up for you today that is going to, as always, require your involvement. So at any given point in time in our discussions, 844-967-2789 is our number. You can join us. Now, Sandy, Julie from Franklin, an avid listener, we can say, in her conversation said she was tired of hearing us and people talk about Donald Trump. And she suggested that we talk about the accomplishments of Joe Biden. Hey, Julie and the rest of the listening audience, we took you up on that. We're going to tell you about the accomplishments of Joe Biden, major accomplishments in his 4 years. And then Sandy next Friday, this coming Friday.
Well, I think what we ought to do is today we'll talk about Biden. I mean, I think what's happening in this election is frequently when you talk to someone who's not going to support Biden, what they say to you is that Biden poses a great danger to the republic, that he's the lesser, that he's the worst of two evils, and that they're going to vote for the other guy because of all the problems that Biden poses to the American future. And when you talk to Democrats, they'll say the exact same thing about Donald Trump. So I think that it's useful for us to spend today talking about Biden's pros and cons, and next week we can spend time talking about Trump's pros and cons.
Well because actually, this week, Friday.
This week, Friday. Yeah. Yes. And so we can kind of have a even keel here in terms of how we go at this discussion, because it seems that many people are voting against the other guy more than they're voting for their own guy. And so I think we ought to talk about the reasons people might vote for a guy as well as the reasons why they might vote against a guy.
And so, Sandy, before we get into that discussion, I was going through this, young Americans who, whether we want to focus on them or not, Sandy, on either side of the aisle, young Americans are unhappy and they're frustrated, and they're not looking at our country the way you and I are, and those of us who are on the other side of our life cycle, who benefited from the America that we knew and many of us love, that provided a way for us. Many of those Generation Xers and millennials aren't very happy with our
nation. they see a different path. And that's why, on Friday, when I think we, in response to one of the callers, what we talked about was kind of depends on whose lens you look at these candidates through. If you're a young person looking at the candidates, you have a different set of interests and worries than an older, the baby boomers, for instance. And so I think it will be interesting in this discussion to highlight the things that might be responsive to the needs of young. I think I talked about young Tom, Dick, and Mary, and that's who an important vantage point, particularly in this election, because exciting the vote of the young is going to be important to both candidates. And the young Tom, Dick, and Mary do have a set of interests that are different than the baby boomers.
So listen to this paragraph from this article. Young Americans are unhappy, and here's why. Young people under age 30 ranked 62nd out of 143 countries for happiness. They said that America would rank, in their belief, 62nd. out of 143 countries for happiness. Last week, young Americans made it clear that they are unhappy with their country. In the World Happiness Report, America ranked 62nd out of 134 participating countries and 23rd in overall, a significant drop from previous years. While I'm certain that young Americans have been unhappy for some time, they have finally found their voice and are speaking out. The reasons for their discontent range from excessive use of social media and lockdown due to the pandemic to declining mental health, high living costs, and inadequate health care. The prevalence of gun violence and crippling student debt only add to their frustration as well as the lack of social programs. Sadly, the American dream is no longer attainable for many young people who struggle to afford necessities like housing. Calvin is a young guy starting out his life, Sandy. And Calvin, you know, you're one of those guys. Your thoughts on young people and their thoughts about, and your, you know, contemporaries, their thought about the country.
Yeah, I mean, we don't talk politics too much as far as that direction, but in terms of the cost of housing and that kind of thing, I know a lot of my friends still live with their parents, and the cost is one of the biggest reasons why that's still the case.
You know, not only the fact of the cost, Calvin, but also the fact that what you guys make is not commensurate with what my generation made at young ages. And so the cost of living, Sandy, being as high as it is, the fact that what young people are being paid is inadequate to deal with today's cost in a society, one of the big issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the reasons why people focus on housing and the rest of it is that the disposable income available for housing is being squeezed by some of these other things that we talk about, by healthcare costs, by child daycare costs, and you know, and there's no question that housing has gone up, but housing as a percentage of disposable income is probably not out of line.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesdays with Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And before we went to break, we were talking, Sandy, about young Americans. And really, Sandy, they're going to be very instrumental in the outcome of this election. And it would make sense that that both Democrats and Republicans understand that they need to do something and take heed to what young Americans are saying. Let me do this before we go to the phone lines.
In fact, I think in a future show, after we get done with these two we're talking about, we ought to have a show that just focuses on young Americans. What is it? How are they doing? What are they thinking about? What's their plight? What's their desire? I think that's an important focus, because I don't think unfortunately, politicians have been very focused on the generation in which they reside, and the United States has been under the control of the baby boom generation for a long time.
Yeah, So let me do this. In 2018, I was 38 years old and had a successful career in Washington, D.C. at the Department of Defense. However, deep down, I was unhappy. Despite living in a wealthy neighborhood in Bethesda, I felt empty inside. That's when I decided to leave America and move to Spain, where I now live, off of the grid in a vibrant village just 30 minutes away from breathtaking city of Granada. Recognized by the UNESCO as one of the most beautiful cities in the world. This change turned my life around. I couldn't be happier. The slow pace of life, strong sense of community, absence of traditional career and focus on nature and good food all contribute to my contentment. Let's go to Bill from O'Connor. Good morning to you, Bill. How you doing? Are you aware of the fact that young people in this nation don't see the nation the way we did? And if they could, would change the way the nation is run?
Yes, I do, because unfortunately I'm blessed and I've got a bunch of grandkids. And they're all teenagers except one. And they face housing and just, you know, talking about that. But Biden has at least, Biden is a humanitarian. And my grandkids, all of them, are humanitarians. They want to see society get better for them and those around them. And I like Sandy's idea about Young America Show. I think that just, that you knocked it out of the park there, Sandy, with that Young America Show. But what I'm wondering is, and I'd like to ask, and I could talk to my son because he's one of those guys, what would be wrong with, we have elder housing, we have 55 and older, how about Young America housing? And there's a lot of entrepreneurs that say, oh, I don't want young people coming in and wrecking my building. Just a minute, buddy, leave the room, because we want people who believe in Young America, not people who don't. I don't need the skeptics. You know, we can turn it around. And as far as Biden goes, I'll just tell you what he's meant for me. My retirement's up 40%, man, 40% since Biden's been in. We have more money now than we've ever had in our life. They talk about inflation. The guys are talking
about inflation. So, Bill, I need to just hold the thought, and then I'll let you come back. Again, some of us are thriving in this economy. Many younger people aren't. And Bill, that's the dilemma that that young people are faced with. Why are so many people thriving in the economy and we're struggling?
But now, I think Bill has shifted gears. He wants to talk about and is going to list the things that, as far as he's concerned, Biden has accomplished. And I suspect we can get apples and oranges here. We ought to talk about the good things, and then we ought to talk about what it is that needs to be accomplished for the young folks.
Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, guys. Let's go back to the young, because they're more important to me. I don't need to worry about me or talk about me. I don't want to. How about the young people? If we had Young American housing, if we had going back to making colleges affordable for kids, not their parents, their kids. When you and I were kids, or the three of us were kids, we on our own could handle it just about. Yeah, it'd be nice.
You've raised two issues there that I think Biden has tried to deal with. One of them is student loans. It's hard for the government to make education cheap. The federal government doesn't provide education. It's done at the state level or it's done privately. But he has at least tried to deal with the debt problem that many students have experienced is one thing. And secondly, with respect to young people and for instance, children, I think he has tried to move in the direction of further support for the child care credit, and child daycare is obviously an immense burden to the young families today. And so I think those are two issues that the Biden administration has tried to deal with, and the Biden budget that was proposed tries to deal with.
Well, we've got a list of at least 25 accomplishments that President Joe Biden has been at the head of in his soon-to-be 4 years in office. And we're going to go down that list as we move forward in the program today. So, you know, Bill, you something else you wanted to say?
Well, no, I really like this embracing the young people and getting, you know, you guys have the ability to do it with a snap of your fingers. Invite young people to call in. Invite young, let's hear what's on their mind. Let's hear what they want. But I think I can give you a couple things they want. I'll be shocked if this isn't one of them. Humanitarianism. They want our country to be more humanitarian. I really believe it. That's why we have these disputes on college campus and demonstrations. They're thinking about everybody. They don't want to see people hurt, shot, or getting these wars. We have to listen to them. And you guys might be on to what I call a real rocket ship with investing in the young people's ideas.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. As always, 844-967-2789. We're certainly going to solicit your calls. And, you know, we want to make sure that we have this conversation and dialogue open to each and every one of you. But this is a conversation that has to be had as well. And as I stated earlier, Sandy and I are going to, you know, touch a lot of different areas in the coming days and weeks as we move forward with this election. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Would you walk that walk and talk that talk and whisper in my ear, tell me that you love me? I love that talk. When you talk like that, you're not me.
So welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at the same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you got the music. Who is that?
John Lee Hooker.
So tell us a little bit about John Lee
Hooker. Well, he's a blues guy, and I think he's done more things that you'll remember than not, but he was a solid blues guy, and... Actually, I had a young fellow that was almost a son of mine who was totally into John Lee Hooker and the blues. He died tragically when he was about 28. And every year, there's now a foundation in his name, the Charles Kubley Foundation. And they spend their money working on suicide prevention and depression awareness. And they have a thing called Beyond the Blues. And the reason the event is called Beyond the Blues is because of John Lee Hooker and what Charlie Kubley used to listen to.
All right. Let me do this before we go to the phone lines. Young people, they struggle with loneliness, not having enough money to buy a home, and living in constant fear due to their upbringing. Even someone like myself who seemed to have it all on paper was unhappy. Why? Because I lacked a sense of belonging, purpose, and community. It was just me, myself, and I. Just like those young Americans, the main focus during my time in America was making money. And this seemed to be the path of many Americans to follow, turning ourselves into money-making machines. That is why young Americans aren't happy. I was one of them until I moved out for good. The way of life in America seems to be the problem, which is all about profit, nothing more. This is what this young man had to say, and he left the shores of our nation and found happiness.
I think young people have a number of complaints. There are some young people who have trouble finding the job that they would work at round the clock, and then there are those who have jobs who find out that that the work ethic in America has gone off the charts. And there's plenty of jobs in America, particularly white collar jobs, where people are called upon to work all the time.
They don't want that.
And you know, people who are our age and the next generation maybe got used to that process and have become sort of work addicts. And I think the younger generations, number one, watched us and watched us do that and have also determined that life balance is more important. So there's a much stronger movement today towards making sure that there's life balance. And that's part of the problem that young Americans have, either finding the job or having a job and then achieving life balance.
So young people don't want that a shirt and tie, sit down at the desk kind of job. They want to create their jobs on the internet. They want to create jobs. Calvin, weigh in on it. They create jobs in this new world that that may not afford them financially well enough. Calvin, many young guys and young girls, they're on the internet creating what they believe is going to make them wealthy, but it's not always the case.
Well, let me just jump in, though, because my observation is that it's sort of chicken and egg. Many young people are having trouble finding the job that they want that to be offered to them, and so they're creating their own, right? I mean, it's necessity can
which be— Which is a struggle.
Necessity can be the mother of invention.
Right.
And so I think there are plenty of young people who are pursuing their own endeavors as an option to not really finding the job that they would otherwise want. And then there are those who are hell-bent on being entrepreneurs and doing it on their own. Both of these things are going to be positives for our economy in the long run. But the life balance thing is something that many people who have achieved midlife have suddenly realized they want to accomplish as well. And I think there is a kind of a life balance revolution going on in the workplace. That might be another subject for a show, because I think that Americans, one of the reasons why Americans don't test well in this happiness quotient in terms of the international surveys they do on happiness, is this problem in America possibly of life balance.
Calvin?
Well, yeah, I definitely agree with what Sandy was saying. For the most part, most of the people, my friends, work traditional or normal jobs, but I know I'm aware that creating and kind of like gigging, like doing just short-term jobs, is definitely increasing in popularity. People don't like feeling stuck to things. And I know, like, my one friend who works a normal job, he has a 4-year degree, but now he's studying to become a realtor because he wants more flexible hours.
So Tony says on the text line, the high barrier to entry for a lot of things like housing, high paying jobs, is a factor in the unhappiness of my generation, especially because we can see how other countries support their citizens. That's a great statement.
Yeah, well, I mean, it has to do with this whole safety net thing. You know, the fact is that young couples struggle to pay child daycare. It's an exorbitant cost. In most countries, that's not a cost they face. Education or paying back student loans isn't a cost that's faced in almost any other country. Healthcare costs are not something that are faced in many other countries. And these are all extreme barriers to at least comfort and prosperity for young couples people.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning. Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. You know, it's really interesting because Sandy's brought up the idea. I put an acronym to it, CHTR, which stands for child care, health care, taxes, and rent or mortgage. And I think what every person needs to be doing is asking their representatives, you know, what do you expect people to do when each of those indices are $16,000 each for an average household of two? And how do you expect them to make it? And I think we need to then pressure our representatives to actually focus on CHTR instead of focusing on other things, if those are the things that are the problem. Child care definitely is an issue. Health care. I mean, we're married to our job. We can't get outside of our job because of the fact of health care. And most employers don't even want to be in that situation where they have to pay for health care. So Medicare for all would be a great idea. Taxes are what we, pay to have a civilized society. And rent or mortgage, again, you're not going to make it on when you're paying $2,000-$3,000 a month for rent. It's just not going to happen. So I think we as the people need to be calling and putting the pressure on our legislature. I know, as an example, in the past 50 years that the Republicans have not given one policy that has been there for the middle class or working class people. It's all been for the billionaire class. Anyone that denies that, call in and give us an example of something that happened where they helped the middle class. But I think that we really need to stay laser sharp focused on those four indices. And we need to be pushing our politicians that way. I would just like say, hey, let's give the Dems the chance. Give the Dems the House, give them the Congress, give them the presidency. Unfortunately, we can't get them the Supreme Court right now, but give them the two out of the three branches and let's see what happens. It might be pretty amazing. You might be pretty shocked that your world and your life and your happiness quotient actually goes up.
Tom, the Democrats already have two out of the three branches, the Senate and the presidency.
Well, but he's talking about the legislative branches.
Oh, legislative.
Having the Senate doesn't work if you don't have the House. We've all found that out. One thing about those four items, Tom, is that rent would be digestible but for the other three. I'm not sure that housing costs are actually so disproportionate. It's just that they're the burden of those housing costs has become unbearable because of the other costs that are also faced.
So let's do this. We got another text message from John Kay. Quite ironic in a sad way that work stress causes so many health concerns for so many, yet employers don't want to pay for health care for employees. Talked about healthcare over and over again. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. Thank you very much for the call. I responded to when you asked us to come up with things that President Biden had done. We're going to do that. And then Friday, we're going to talk about the accomplishments of Donald Trump. But you say what?
I was going to tell you. I heard you say that. And I'm like, oh. I wonder if that's because I asked them.
That is why.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. So don't you think, and I don't know, Calvin, I'd like to hear, Calvin needs to just have a show. Calvin, Young America with Calvin. And I have a lot of things, but I'll try to go quick. I think, let's think about back when we were in our 20s. And our parents would sit around the table and talk politics. We were so uninterested. I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of young kids. I still do. I work for NBC Sports, and I work with people from all over the country. And the young people, they're so refreshing. And I don't think I do think there's issues. But I think don't you guys think that it all kind of starts at home? And what I mean by that is, and I have a 34-year-old son, and I babied him like crazy. And I gave him everything he wanted because it was different than what my mom and dad did. My mom and dad were like, no, you can't have that until you do this or that or whatever. And we thought, well, life's too short. I'm going to give him whatever he wants. My sister, my cousins, everybody that is my age that has older kids, this is so surprising to me, probably 75% of them still pay for the 30-something-year-old's phone, auto insurance, and a lot of things. And our parents didn't do that. They taught us to be survivors. And they taught us that you got to go out and work your butt off. If you want something, you have to be able to pay for it. You might not get it tomorrow. You might have to wait 3 months to get it. You're not going to necessarily get a job out of college that pays what you think you should make, and we didn't either. Life is hard, and that's why life is so good, because when you can succeed in life, whatever it is, it doesn't necessarily have to be money is the, you know, where you succeed. If you succeed in life, it usually was hard to get there. And we have to teach, like, our kids to be survivors. And you can't live, you're not going to live 5 minutes from an office. It's just not going to happen. We never did. We had to commute. We had to have a roommate. If we wanted to get an apartment on our own, we either had one or two roommates. We didn't have new cars. We shared rides with people. And you know what? It made us better. I don't know. I'm interested to see what Calvin thinks of that.
Julie, let me just comment the one thing. I think there's hard and then there's very hard, okay, in terms of young people. And some people are born on second base, and it's always hard to get home from second base, but you're on second base. Some people are born on first base or even at home plate and have to even make their way to start with. And so the starting point is different for many children, and maybe the starting point is more difficult for some children. So it's hard to project from our own experience, because most of us were born on second base.
So Julie, just hang on a second. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. It means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
I'm gonna tell you a story about the house rent boogie long time ago. I stayed with old woman one for 5 long years. I had a good job. I mean a sure enough good job. I worked there every day for 5 long years. Yeah.
I can't believe Sandy is. I would have never thought you to be a blues
connoisseur. Oh, yeah.
You always
smile. Absolutely.
Right.
Muddy Waters.
Yeah, Muddy Waters.
John Lee Hooker.
Welcome good back stuff to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. We're talking about, you know, young people today and the fact that they're so unhappy with this nation. They don't see it the same way we saw it, and they have a right not to see it the way we saw it, and it's their world. So, Julie, I wanted to have you hang on a second, because I wanted Tony, again, Tony Z has weighed in on text. Growing up in a global economy has also been a problem, because the businesses don't care about the workers or the community. If it's cheaper to move towns or countries, they go. Towns or to other countries, they go. No community investment. And so that is, in fact, Julie, it's not the way it was. And I was telling Sandy, my dad, who raised 13 children, I remember saying to my dad, "You were harder on us than you were on my younger siblings, because at 18 years old, you kind of put pressure on us to get out and start your own, you know, homestead." And we did. And I didn't understand why he wasn't as hard on my younger siblings. And you know what he told me? He said, "It was a different time. when you were young at 18, you could go out and do what I did and go to an industry and start your own place. And you know, because there was enough money in industry that was here that at 18 years old, you could go out and make enough money to live on your own. Sandy?
Well, yeah, I think we pointed out the terrain has changed for young people. It used to be you'd get a union job, and in the 70s, one wage earner earned a middle class income, and the middle class was primarily comprised of single wage earning families. In today's world, the middle class is comprised of two wage earners in a family, and the middle class is facing burdens they didn't face back then, because employers paid for health care and employers don't pay for health care now. At least they don't pay the full freight for health care. And the same is true for pension arrangements. So now the family of two who's struggling to be in the middle class is also facing bills after they get their check from their salary check for health care and their student loan. Student loans didn't exist. Julie, when you were probably a young person, I suspect you didn't face student loans. And so the terrain has changed.
Julie?
I agree. It has changed, but I also think that the change, there's some better changes to it as well. I think the kids now have so many more options and different areas, like you were talking about, you know, creating their own business, you know, online, or, you know, and being able to work remotely. I also, unfortunately, was in the hospital for 2 weeks last year, and I was in the ICU unit, and all the healthcare, the nurses, they were all in their 20s. So refreshing to see, and a lot of them were traveling nurses, and were just living life.
Yeah, but Julie, everybody can't be a nurse. You know, and takes, you know, a lot of commitment, a lot of intellect. And so many young people won't be able to accomplish that. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, I really enjoy listening to Julie. Julie and I are like sister and brother. Last week, Friday, when I called up and I mentioned it to you guys about, you sit there and you rip on Trump all the time, and why don't you tell us how good Biden is?
We're going to do that.
Julie called up. Yeah, I know that, and I'm glad you did. Because Julie called up right after me and said that, yeah, she agreed with me on this, and I'm glad you're going to follow through. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I think people are lazy nowadays. When I was a kid, and I'm just speaking for myself now, you guys, that I wanted a bike. I wanted a Schwinn bike. And my mom said, you got to go out and earn it. So I got up every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. I delivered the Sentinel. And I did that until I had enough money to go get my bike. And then I wanted other stuff. So I just continued my job delivering newspapers for years. We don't live in a social, a socialized country. We live in a capitalist country. You want to work hard, you're gonna start out and you're gonna succeed. Now, Sandy said people aren't born on second base. Well, when I was born in the dugout, sitting on a bench waiting to play. That's how far down we were. My mother got divorced when I was 5 years old. She had four kids. We had absolutely nothing. She was making 75 cents an hour being a secretary. The only way we survived was not public assistance. My mom would never collect welfare. We stayed with my grandma and grandpa. My brothers and I, we slept up in the attic. It was an uninsulated attic, and it got cold up there. But, you know, like Julie said, you get pride. When you work hard and you accomplish something, you get pride. And this is what the young people need. They don't have pride in that.
Well, you know, when you make statements that the young people don't have pride, that's a pretty tough statement to make. 844-967-2789 is the number. Hang on the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Love to hear your opinion on it.
You ain't getting nothing. Yeah. And I got on waiting the house to my son back rent. She lucky she get in at front rent.